This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
B. Mitchell Finley, 106.7 The Fan. Cool news out of Germany. The Rhein Fire have won back-to-back World League titles. Jim Tom Sula is their head coach. Jim Tom's a good dude, man. I'm happy for him. I remember him many years ago telling me how much he loved coaching over there. He used to coach in Scotland. Joining us right now is Tyler Drake. Tyler covers the Arizona Cardinals out here in Phoenix. Tyler, what's up, man? Thanks for making time for us.
Hey, how's it going? Thanks for having me on.
Doing well, man.
Get us up to speed with all things AZ. They kind of seem similar to Washington in that there's a whole lot of offense and not a lot of defense. They're 1-2 through two games, but they were right in that opener against the Bills. What's the word with the Cardinals?
Yeah, I think you said it perfectly. It's a lot of offense with a defense that they want to get up to speed. Obviously, a lot more talent on the offensive side of the ball than the defensive side. You've got Kyler Murray out there. You've got Marvin Harrison Jr., James Conner, Trey McBride, who obviously is going through concussion protocol still. But, that's really the big thing. They've been competitive in all these weeks. Obviously, they won in week two by a landslide. But, yeah, the season opener. Obviously, their offense fell flat in the second half, but they kept it in a one-score game. Week three, same deal. Really came out on fire, and then the offense kind of sputtered, and that's kind of the deal with this team right now. If that offense can't really put together a full game or at least three quarters of really good work, then the defense is going to have to make up a lot, and that's just been something that has not been able to come to fruition to result in wins in those two games. So if the offense isn't consistent, it's going to be a very interesting game, I'll say that.
What is it they want to do on offense? Is it run the ball more or pass?
Yeah, so they're built on running the rock. Obviously, Marvin Harrison Jr. is there. That's been the big storyline out here, but it really starts with them getting the run game going behind James Conner. They've got Trey Benson and Amari DiMercato in there too, but James Conner is really their bell cow. Obviously, Kyler can run the rock too, but they really want to run the ball. That's what they did really well against the Rams. That's what they did really badly against the Lions this last week. I think Conner only had 9 carries for 17 yards, and I think they're 2-7 now when he gets under 10 carries. So if that run game isn't going, that's a big, big, big problem for this Cardinals team. Obviously, a lot of the talks with Kyler, a lot of the talks with Marvin, a lot of the talks with these weapons that he has, but if they can get this run game going, that's going to open up the rest of everything else for this team moving forward.
How's Kyler look so far this season?
Yeah, he looks comfortable. I think a lot of people out here are seeing kind of that next step in his maturity. He did a lot of off-the-field stuff this offseason with a lot of his teammates and players, and that was really cool to see. On the field, he looked very comfortable, not really – doesn't look lost out there in the new system. Obviously, still a new system. Finally got a full offseason of work in it, but – he looks like he is taking the right steps forward. I think I really like that he's getting the deep ball going again. Obviously, didn't hit this last game, but in week two, I think he completed all 5 of them, and that was a pretty impressive feat in itself. So, if he can continue to dial up the deep ball, and if he can continue to use his legs in a concerted effort, not a full-blown, let's just run, that's going to bode well for this offense moving forward, because obviously, we've seen the seconds that he's had to throw the ball. That's from him scrambling. That's from a little bit of O-line help, but that's a lot of him doing his own thing at the end of the day.
Defensively, what's been their biggest problem?
Biggest problem, I would say just getting a consistent pass rush. That's been the big thing right now is Dennis Gardeck, you know, put together a couple of sacks this last game. But outside of that, or not this last game, but week two. But outside of that, that's just been the big thing. It's very hit or miss right now. So if they can get more of a consistent pressure on the quarterback, that could go a long way. I think the secondary is playing a little bit better than many of us would have expected at this point. I think we still would like to see a lot of their second-round pick, Max Melton. But right now, I think the pass rush, they need some more depth there. Zaven Collins has taken a step forward from being that transitional guy from an inside backer to outside guy. Dennis Gardeck has been playing with his hair on fire, and you really know what you get out of him. But beyond those guys, you know, they need somebody to step up and really be another force. I really like what Mac Wilson is doing at the inside linebacker position because he can be utilized as a really good pass rusher too. So maybe they get him some more reps moving forward, but they definitely need to find another guy to really fit in there and be a consistent guy off the edge for this team moving forward.
Talking with Tyler Drake here. You can give him a follow at TDrake4Sports, Cardinals reporter for AZ Sports. What's the injury situation for the Cardinals? Dan Quinn specifically mentioned Buda Baker as a really big problem defensively for Arizona. That's a guy that's all over the field, been playing at a high level on the back end of that Arizona defense for years now. I saw he's on the injury report. Marvin Harrison's on there. Trey McBride has been a stud tight end. He's in the protocol, I think. Where are they at injury-wise?
Yeah, it's a big week for the injury side of things. Just like you said, I think Buda's dealing with a quad. He was limited yesterday. Marvin was limited as well. It didn't look like anything was really holding Marvin back just from the open portion that we can see and we can report on. Then you've got Trey McBride in concussion protocol. You've got Kelvin Beachum, who's dealing with a hamstring issue. Injury. He's their starting right tackle right now with Jonah Williams out, so he's going to be a guy that they really need to get healthy, especially with week three starter Jackson Barton going down on the IR with a toe issue. So the depth at right tackle is super, super thin right now. So they're going to have to do something if Beachum can't go. He was back out there practicing, though, so that's a good sign moving forward. And then, with Trey, we'll have to see if he's out there in a non-contact jersey today. That's a really good sign for moving forward. But, yeah, there's quite a few injuries that are some big-time injuries for this Cardinals team, for sure.
It looked like both of these teams look in the mirror like they're dealing with the same things. Offense is good.
Yeah.
Defense isn't. And you got injuries all around.
Yeah, it really is. It really is. And how ironic is it that it's Cliff coming back to town? I mean, it's very much like you've got the rookie quarterback who can do it through the air, do it with his legs. You've got these injuries you got to deal with. You've got an offense that's outplaying the defense. I mean, it is a mirrored matchup this week for sure. Mm-hmm.
How much do folks here care about Cliff's return? How big it's funny. I was at Jaden Daniels' availability yesterday. I don't know if you were there, Tyler, but there was a pretty good local crowd to it of Phoenix reporters and a lot of questions about his time at Arizona State. And I just found that kind of interesting, but not particularly germane to what I do. And the Cliff story, I feel like is kind of similar. How big of a deal is it out here that you've got Cliff coming back?
Yeah. I wasn't there. I was actually at Cardinals. I did hear you ask a couple questions, though. So I was like, okay, he's in town. That's good to know. But it was very interesting to listen back to that Jaden interview. And kind of the same thing. I think it means more for the ASU fans and the people that covered ASU. With Cliff, I think a lot of people still, you know, kind of go back to that 2022 ending and kind of see, like, hey, this just kind of fell apart. And obviously, everything that happened after that, I think the contract extension timing, the offseason before his firing really had a part of that. You got the dysfunction that was happening on the team, off-the-field issues. That's really, I mean, obviously not completely on Cliff, but he was running the show at that time. I think some people still care out here. I really do. I think especially if the Cardinals were in a worse spot and they really didn't have a path forward, or at least a idea of where they want to get to, I think it'd be a lot more louder. But being that Jonathan Gannon and Monty Osfort have come in and kind of turned the page, got a new culture, got a new foundation set, I think people are kind of moving on. But I can tell you right now, I think when he goes into State Farm Stadium and Cardinals fans see him, there's going to be quite a few boos coming out right away. I'm not going to doubt him.
Go for it.
I think it's very, they've got to find a scapegoat, and they're going to have one on the field on the opposite sideline. So why not be him? I mean, you've got Steve Keim working for Clutch now. So, I mean, I don't know if they can find him on the sideline right now, but you can at least find one of the guys that was on that old regime.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age, wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, MIDI.com.
Well, Cliff knows Kyler Murray. Are anybody concerned about him knowing him so well? Because he fought for him to come here, get drafted that high, that they're going to attack, have an approach on defense to try and affect him and make him have to do things that he's not comfortable with?
Yeah. I think that's definitely a thing, and I think it goes both ways, too. I think there's a lot of stone and turning over here of, hey, you used to practice against Cliff's offense. Hey, Buda Baker, what did you see during his time here? Hey, Kyler, what did you see? What are his tendencies? And we talked to Kyler yesterday, and he said he really couldn't give him much what's different just because new system, totally different things that are reliant on other things now. But, there's definitely going to be some familiarity there that I guarantee you both sides are going to try to exploit. And it's going to be on the guys to really – recognize, hey, I've done this too much when Cliff was in town. Maybe I do need to switch this up or vice versa. So I'm going to be really looking at that kind of cat and mouse game of like, all right, here's Kyler. He likes to run. What are they going to do to contradict that? So it's going to be very interesting to see kind of the chess game going on between the two sides.
Maserati Marv lands on the injury report. He has been, I mean, he was good week one, fantastic week two, and then just got completely shut down last week. Just kind of a receiver learning the NFL. Did Buffalo do something? It was not Buffalo last week. Detroit.
No, Buffalo got him first week.
Did Detroit do something that he couldn't figure out or the offense couldn't figure out? What's the deal with Harrison, a rookie that has all the promise and
great potential?
Yeah. So actually, he got shut down big time in week one. He only had 3 targets, 1 catch for 4 yards. They really didn't move him around or put him in any motion situations. So that was kind of the thing there. And really,
so it was Buffalo didn't give shut him down.
Yeah. And Buffalo didn't give him a chance. I mean, they had a lot of double team on him a lot. I mean, they had a lot of cloud coverage on him that first game. Second game, obviously, I think they knew that they needed to push the envelope a little bit more and get him involved. You saw that. You saw his incredible catch that he made on that first touchdown. The second one was just as impressive with his ability to kind of read the defense and just shoot out down the field. Then this last week, you know, I thought he came in and started hot, but I think that run game kind of fizzling out, they were able to kind of just lock in on limiting the pass game, and that took a lot away from him, took a lot away from other guys too. I really thought Greg Dortch was going to have a big game just because of what we saw these guys out of the slot do against the Lions these past couple of weeks, and I think he might have been maybe dealing with a little bit of a hammy still, but he was even limited too. So I think all in all, that run game really is going to set the tone and really open up that passing game moving forward, and that's where they're going to beat you. If they can do that and then fire one over the top to Marvin, that's the way that this Cardinals team wants to win.
It's so kind of getting – we're 2 days out now. I mean, this game is coming. What's your gut tell you? It's an interesting spot because Arizona's got the 1-2 record, but, you know, they've also had to play a Bills team that's pretty loaded or at least playing on fire early in the year. Detroit's coming off an NFC title game appearance. Washington's coming off the big win, but they do have the short week. Kind of how you feeling about this game on Sunday?
Yeah, I really do think it's going to be one of those just offensive attacks versus offensive attacks. I think the Cardinals, it really is going to come down. I think if Justin Jones was not on the IR and that run defense was a little bit more sound, I'd have a little bit more confidence in the Cardinals. But just given what I've seen out of Jaden and those guys, like they really have figured out a way to utilize all of his strengths. You know, it's going to be close. It's tough for me to really nail one down, but I think I'm going to go with the Cardinals on this one. I think they're going to play with a little more juice, knowing who's on the other side. Obviously, they're not going to say that they're looking into that, but I think we all can know that they've got a former head coach on the other side that they want to try to go beat. And obviously, Kyler and Jaden, I know that you heard that too yesterday. They've met at the mall one time. So
yeah.
that was a really funny exchange just talking with Kyler about that. But I'm going to go with the
what
Cardinals.
What did Kyler say about that?
So, oh, yeah, he just said, yeah,
hold on one second. Just let me get our audience up to speed. So remember that Jaden Daniels started his college ball out here in Tempe at Arizona State and was here for three seasons before he transferred to LSU and then obviously had so much success with the Tigers. But he said when he was here at Arizona State, he was just walking around the mall one day and he saw Kyler Murray, and so he just went up and introduced himself. I heard Jaden's version of events. Now Tyler's going to give us Kyler's version of events.
All right.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So he basically said, yeah, just I met him, or he came up and said what's up to me, and he really just said, like, I really appreciate, you know, what he's about, what he's doing. He also talked about kind of how he left ASU and had a lot of scrutiny from his former teammates and stuff like that, and how Kyler had a similar thing moving from A&M to Oklahoma. So, like, you could kind of see their career path. There's a little bit of a similarity there. So he just talked very highly of the young quarterback and said that he likes what he's about. He thought really highly of him. It was a cool little thing that we really didn't expect to hear from. But yeah, we were kind of sitting there thinking, like, is it at Fiesta Mall, Superstition Mall over in Scottsdale? Like, where are these guys meeting at? Like,
at the mall.
that's funny, man. How has Connor started the season? That guy is clearly just a kind of a throwback runner, super physical, gets downhill on everybody. Washington hasn't stopped to run very well. How has James Conner looked to start the year?
Yeah, I mean, he's looked really good. I think just outside of this last game, just that 9 carries for 17 yards was nothing, but he also really didn't get a chance to do much. So, yeah, like you said, traditional downhill runner, wants to put you in the ground while he runs over you or stiff arm you or do whatever. And he's just a good dude, too. Like, there's really the way he goes about his business, he might be one of those guys that plays for a while as an old-time running back just because of how he treats his body and goes about his business. He's just all about work. And, I mean, he's a great story. Being able to come back from when he fought, cancer and all that, like, just an incredible story. So, yeah, he very much, they want to get him going. And against a team that isn't as great against the run, they are going to make that a very, very, very concerted effort to get him going from the start.
Hey, can I ask one random one before we go here, Tyler? Just as a dude who, as a guy that lives here and is clearly all over the sports scene, and I know you cover the Cardinals, but I'm guessing you're aware of the Phoenix Suns. How has Bradley Beal been received out here?
Oh, man.
That laugh might say it all.
Not very well.
Yeah. Well, okay, let's take it this way. Like, the big three model, I would say he's probably the Bosch of the three. So take that for what you will. The third of the three, yes. The Chris Bosch of the Dwayne Wade and LeBron James and Chris Bosch trio. The original super team. But, yeah.
Chris might think you're disrespecting him, man.
That's no disrespect to Chris Bosch. That's just how it comes off to somebody who grew up watching that other big three. But I would say it's been mixed. You can tell that he's got some scoring ability, but I feel like fans aren't really seeing that. And then you've got the added point of, hey, they needed a point guard, so they went in there and had, you know, Point Book, Point Beal. I don't really know how well that all worked out. I think Point Book is a lot better than Point Beal, in my opinion. But, I think it's a process. I think if he can come out and put together a couple good games, some fans might get back in his corner. But I definitely think it's some mixed reviews right now.
Probably some mixed reviews. That sounds
a lot
right.
Of
hey, Tyler, thanks for the time.
Appreciate
it, man.
No problem. No problem. Thanks, guys.
All right, brother.
Tyler Drake, give him a follow at TDrake4Sports. You know how you can tell a dude is young? When the Bosch, LeBron, Dwayne Wade is the first big three. Like Robert Parrish, Kevin McHale, and Larry Bird didn't play together. You know what I mean?
They didn't call it big three back then.
Sure, they made it. They made
they
that
just,
like
they
the
were
trend.
All on that team already.
Right,
yeah.
Exactly. I am stunned, Brian, that Bradley Beal is not well received by,
hey,
the,
man,
by the folks at
when
Phoenix.
You get paid properly and you don't play like that, they have a problem with you.
When we return. Oh, we got Bleep You today. I didn't
yes,
think
we do.
About that. High noon. We're opening the phones. We're going to play you some Dan Quinn audio. Nobody go anywhere.